All right, thank you for that. We'll pass out the notes for tonight. It's been a few weeks since I've been up here. We've had some guest speakers, graduation, and so we are back in the book of Proverbs, and we've been in it for quite a while. We're not just hitting Proverbs as a book per se. We've been looking at different truths that have to do with things that God tells us that we should avoid, okay? Being a Christian is accepting and taking the things that God wants us to have and wants us to do, but another part of being a Christian is avoiding those things God doesn't want us to be a part of, things that would actually be hurtful in our lives, and so that we need to look at as well, and I'm not going to go back through everything. We've been looking at prudence. Proverbs 14, verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Of course, the key word is prudent. And I gave you some definitions. You don't have them in the notes, but let me remind you. Being prudent means we have wisdom by using caution, foresight, and discretion in decision making. Okay? Everything isn't just, you know, immediately make a decision. Now, if you're deciding what's for dinner, that's not a big deal. But I'm talking about decisions that have to do with life. You think them through is really what's going on. Prudence is when we have the ability to make wise decisions by considering the consequences before acting. Fact of the matter is, the average person doesn't even stop to think about this decision I'm making. What would be the long-term consequences? If we did, we'd probably be a lot better off. And it's also the ability to govern and discipline oneself through reason and wisdom. It doesn't matter what we say we want to do. If we don't have the character to make ourselves do the things we're supposed to do, it's just a good thought on paper, but it really doesn't make a difference. So we're looking at what the Bible talks about prudence. What does it say? We looked at first one, that prudence leads us to control our anger. And I would encourage you, if you struggle with anger, that we really need to get that under control. Anger ruins every aspect of your life. Amen. And an angry person is not a prudent person, because a person that has anger issues, they have self-control issues. And when you have self-control issues, it doesn't just limit itself to anger. It really just mushrooms into every area of your life. And I'm not going to belabor it. We've already looked at that. We started looking at this. Prudence leads us to be careful with what we say. And we got into it a few weeks ago, and so I want to come back to it and finalize it before we go on to our next point. Proverbs 13:12. A prudent man concealeth knowledge. Doesn't mean hide. It means he doesn't say things that really don't need to be said. But the heart of fools proclaimeth. It's out there, right? What do we call it? Not having a filter. You ever meet someone like that? The thought is here, and there's no consideration. If the thought hits, it's out. There's not even a thinking of, should I say this or not? How many of you ever had a thought of something you could say, but you didn't say it? Oh, yeah. Okay, let's be real here. How many of you, if you're married, you've ever said something to your spouse, and as soon as it got out of your mouth, it's like, man, I wish I could grab that and shove it back in. How many know what I'm talking about? Okay, yeah, just once. It happened to me one time, but it's been a really long time, okay? So that's what we're talking about. You are careful about what they say. Now, let's get into it, because we started this, and again, we speak in different ways, but our generation speaks this way. We talked about other things already. The Bible may not specifically say anything about social media, but the principles apply to social media, okay? When the Bible was being written, there was no social media, all right? They didn't have any of that. But the Bible gives us principles. And in every situation of life, you can take those principles and apply them to the things of modern day society. So if we're supposed to be careful about the things we say, it's not just our verbal words, because we can also say these things with a keyboard. And it gets out there. So we got to be very careful. We said last time, we just started this, what good does it do for you to get on social media and blast somebody? It doesn't do any good at all. In fact, it usually makes things worse, right? We by the way, it's a new day. It's just a new day. We want to handle personal conflicts in a public setting. That's not the Bible way, right? What's the Bible way? Talk to each other. See, a lot of times, misunderstandings can be handled if people just talk to each other, right? There's something about a face-to-face, like, it's not just someone that said something that maybe you misunderstood. It's like, now we see each other. We know the feelings, and we work it out. But if you go to social media and blast, the goal isn't to help the situation. The goal is rally people to your corner. That's what it is. Like I say, you want to say something on social media that's absolutely ridiculous because you want someone in the comments to say, you go. Go where? I mean, keep going down the wrong road? And relationships can be hurt. So let's be very careful about that. Next, this is new. Those who sit there and believe what they see on social media without knowing both sides of the story are just as wrong as those who post. It is what it is. Someone just says something, and we naturally just believe what they say without actually checking it out. You've never known anybody that's wrong? Right? Come on. If we're in a conflict, we're not, and I'm telling somebody about the conflict, don't you think I'm going to skew the facts a little bit in my favor? I mean, I'm talking about. By the way, you have kids, and you ever hear them argue with you? They get in a little tiff, and you call them in, and he did this, and then you bring it in. It's like, it's not like that at all. You're only hearing one side of the story. By the way, if we didn't listen to that nonsense, and we didn't read it, it'd probably just go away. People say all kinds of stuff on social media. And if it's wrong and we listen to it, then we're just as bad. And let me say this, because this is where we're at. Be careful about bitter Christians. Bitter Christians. They have these accounts on social media. I don't watch any of them. Okay? And in the past, I've been mentioned on some of them. Not a lot. But it's like, hey, so-and-so said, I don't care. I'm not gonna go see it. I don't care. I just don't care. If they really had a problem with me, just come talk to me. Okay? But they'll post stuff, and there's people that have whole ministries on, whether it's X or a podcast or whatever, and they're just vitriolic towards our type of Christianity. I always think, like, if you don't like our type of Christianity, go to a different church. Come on. Yeah, we're not the enemy. Come on. Okay, if you want something less or whatever, go. Have a good time with that. Why do I have to take shots at people? By the way, someone pointed this out, and I thought about it, and I think it's pretty much true. People that are like that, those are second-generation Christians. Amen. By that, I mean, I'm a first-generation Christian. My family was not Christian. And so I kind of grew up living in the world, and then I got saved. And it changed my life. So I know what the nonsense is, right? But you get sometimes these second-generation kids, and they've been brought up in a great atmosphere, and they took it for granted. What do they say? Like, I was raised on drugs. My parents drugged me to church Sunday morning. They drugged me to church Sunday night. That type of thing. By the way, as someone who was first generation, I would have loved for that to have been my story. I would have loved for that. But because they're that second generation, they didn't understand sometimes what they're really saved from. And so, anybody that is encouraging us to live the Bible, you're just taking away our fun and everything because you're listening to the wrong people. And I know, they get on there and they have all their little nonsense. Everybody, it's amazing how critical people can be. You post a picture, hey, I met so-and-so and they got saved. Well, are they genuinely saved? It's like, yeah, they're about as saved as the zero people you talk to. You know, we had a great day in church. We had a full house and several raised their, well, did they, you know, well, come on, I mean, did you really get dealt with? It's like, well, you know, just because your church didn't, I don't really care. That's between you and God. Why are you going to criticize that? Be very careful. When I follow guys, I like to follow their churches because I like to see what happened. I like when they say, hey, this good thing happened. I want to rejoice that God's not just working here. He's working in a lot of places. We're not excited about that. And you know what the thing is about these critics? I'm going to harp on it. So let me just get my harp out. We'll have a good time. You don't know what church they go to. Well, you know, I know somebody who was a Baptist, and they did something horrific. It's worse than that, though. I know someone in the Bible that did something that's horrific. Doesn't mean everybody's bad. And tell me what church you go to and what type of church you go to, and I guarantee you somebody in that ilk of church has done something wrong, not because your type of church is wrong, because there are people that do wrong everywhere. Okay? And I'm not going to judge Christianity by them. Because Jesus Christ has never done anything but good. And that's that person will stand before God for what they did. So, well, if someone does something wrong, they ought to go to jail. Amen. Okay? And but there's a little critical nonsense. It's just ridiculous. Next, the critical stuff you post on social media. Not that you do. I mean, I guess I got to be careful. I state this. It's being like you do. I'm not saying you do. I'm saying the negative stuff. Some people. How about that? When I say you, the word you means some people, right? The critical stuff some people post on social media says a lot more about, well, you have to put you now, but them, than the person you are criticizing. Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying? If I get mad at Robert and I get on social media and blast him, which has no purpose whatsoever, it doesn't say anything about him. It says a lot about me. I'm unchristian. I didn't even take the time to go talk to him. I'm usually going to embellish my side of the story. And they're just a critical person. I've known people, not here, others, and I wouldn't even talk to them. Because everything you say is subject to social media. Well, this person said this to me. I'm like, I've had that happen. I'm just not talking to them. Because no matter what you say, they're going to misconstrue it, and then there it goes. Like, I'm done. I know someone got mad because I quit following them. It's like, this is years ago. Like, the negativity is just, like, I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear it. And I guess they found out. They were ticked off. Like, well, I didn't want to tick you off. I just don't want to hear it. Okay? I have enough stuff in my life. I'm negative enough naturally that I need something positive. Okay? Don't air grievances or irritations with another person, please. But you know, the spiritual response is just go talk to each other. I've had people, you know, before social media, right? People come like, you know, I just think so-and-so has something against me. I'm like, have you ever just talked to them personally? No. Go try that. And, you know, if they listen to that, they come back and say, just a misunderstanding. I had someone come in several years ago, and I have to talk to you. And I kind of sensed that there was something, there was a little spirit there. And you know, you said something, and I think they said like 5 years ago in a message, and you were talking about me. And they told me what I said, and I'm like, that had nothing to do with you. And they're like, really? And I'm like, yeah. And they believe me, and they're like, that's been bothering me for 5 years, 4 years. I'm like, I feel horrible. If you would have just came and talked to me, I could have told, come talk to me. Oh, I didn't have you in mind. I don't, you know, I just throw stuff out there sometimes. But if we deal with it correctly, then there's really no problem most of the time. I don't care how many positive responses you get on social media. If it's wrong, it's wrong. You should ask yourself sometimes, like, what is the purpose of posts like that? Really, think about that. What are we trying to accomplish? If I get on there and say, Pineda, what am I trying to accomplish? Let's be real honest. Let's be honest. You know what we're trying to accomplish. I'm trying to hurt him. I can't think of another. Can you tell me something? I'm not trying to help him. I'm not trying to clear the situation up between us. And by the way, here's what people do all right, you know. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind back. I have found I don't have enough mind to be able to give up some of it. I got to keep the little bit I have.
Yeah,
it's like you give them their piece of your mind and then they come back even worse. I just ignore it. Just ignore it. Unless it's someone that you feel you can talk to personally and fix it. But a lot of times it's just best when someone gets to that part of life to let it go. Okay? By the way, never post when you're angry. You ever done that? You ever send a text out when you're angry? Right? You know what I like to do? I like to make the text. That used to be emails, right? Like, guy said one time to me, and I probably shouldn't have said it. He was a church member. I wasn't the pastor, so it wasn't my right. But I think he was upset with me. He emailed me one day. He goes, hey, I was at my house with some of my buddies here from the church. And we were sitting here trying to figure out just what do you do anyhow? We couldn't figure out anything that you do in the church. The coffee wasn't very good that morning. I said, you know, you're right. I really don't do too much because I spend all my time answering emails from backslidden church members. And I click send. That one didn't bother me. I kind of did enjoy that one. His wife came to my wife and said, good, he needed that. So he was the kind of guy. But it's like, hey, what are you going to do? But I would not have done that on social media. Okay. But we're angry. You know, sometimes just type it out there and then say, I'm going to send it tomorrow. Because tomorrow you won't want to do it, right? We just react. But prudence will say, hey, it just doesn't work. Never react when you're upset. A prudent person has the character to understand that if what they say can hurt others or has no value, they don't have to say it. Okay? Just don't say it. And by the way, let me just throw this one out. We'll move to the next one. Are you ready? The Bible principle is still true. You reap what you sow. You know? If we're critical towards somebody else, it's like, you don't think you're going to reap that? That kind of spirit kind of attracts people with that spirit to kind of... Okay. Have fun on Twitter or X after service tonight. So Pastor Meyer said this. Next, prudence leads us to understanding before acting. Prudence leads us to understanding. Verse 14, verse 8, we saw this. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. When he says the prudent man, he really wants to understand everything, but the foolish man, he doesn't care. He doesn't care. He'll lie to himself. He'll lie to anybody else. Understand means this: to consider, to mark or make note of, to have discernment or insight about a situation. That's what a prudent man wants to do. He's going to consider his way. He's going to make note of what would go on, have discernment or insight in a situation. In other words, a man who is prudent will seek to have a deep understanding before making the decision or taking an action. It never hurts to take a little more time. By the way, here's a rule of thumb that in most all cases, this is killing me, in most all cases should be followed. Never make a decision or take an action when you are pressured. Because most of the time, can I just tell you something? That's how salesmen make a living, right? They give you the story. You got to sign it right now. Yeah. Remember years ago, we had a guy came, and, you know, these trucks, they come by, and, you know, you eat so much meat. Why don't you just buy your meat, and we'll deliver it to you fresh and cut out the middleman, and it's cheaper. So I had to go to work, and I left, and he talked to my wife, and I came home. She signed a contract. So I'm like, no, you know, hey, well, we spend this much for meat, and I can get this much meat. This was really years ago. You can get it from Amazon now, but, you know, it's like, we get, and I'm like, let me see the contract, because We had to buy a freezer, of course, to go with it. Like, monthly payments on a freezer? I'm like, wait a minute, time out here. And I like, calculator. That's one expensive freezer. Now, back then, I don't know if there is now, there's a 3-day cooling off period. I called that guy as soon as I got home from work. I'm like, cancel now. You know, you feel pressured. People use pressure because you'll make that decision you don't want to make and you're not taking time to think it through. So just if you're feeling pressure about something, say, hey, I'm going to stop and I'm going to think before I make this decision. By the way, don't let people pressure you. Family members can pressure you. You know, hey, you're welcome. You know, hey, I got, you know, somebody one time, I mean, I'm not compassionate, I'm compassionate as I can be. Someone called one time, they had like a ticket issue, so they got, you know, arrested and spend the weekend in jail. Like, I don't want to spend the weekend in jail. Can you put your car up for me? I'm like, no. I'm not putting my car on the line because you didn't pay your ticket. No. Okay, yeah. It's just like, I heard the food's better in jail now, so you'll be fine. But, you know, don't pressure me because you didn't take care of something. That didn't go over well. Let's move on quickly here. What do you have to do? Here's a good thing. A prudent man, that's underneath there, he will examine the situation. Know all the details. It's okay. Sit down like, what is going on with this decision I have to make, right? Sometimes people are making life-altering decisions, moving, whatever it is. And it's like, sit down like, what are the pros? What are the cons? What would God want? Okay? But we don't want to do that. We just want to like, okay, let's go for it. But think it through. Take some time. Pray. Examine the situation. Know all the details, right? Here's another one. He will examine the direction. He wants to understand his way. He wants to think things through because what you're doing is taking you somewhere, right? Think of it, you can think of this in so many different areas. Think of if you're compromising a moral, you're compromising a belief you have. That doesn't just have a one-time effect. That's going to lead you down a path, and a path always leads somewhere. It's taking you somewhere. Think it through. Anybody that's ever got caught up in something horrific or something bad or something that has really messed up their life, it didn't start with that one decision that got them there. Yeah. It usually starts with some smaller decisions that were not made correctly, and that just led you on a path to make. Once you start down that path, it's easier to make these other decisions, and you end up down there, and that's not where you want to be. So think it through. A prudent man says, what's the potential destiny? But by the way, there are some things we don't do in our church. Okay? A certain kind of music we listen to in this church. We're not going to have the 5 or 6 people up here with the dark lights and the ladies are dressed inappropriately and they're singing because this is their opportunity to show that church has talent. Go do that at home. I don't have anything to do with that. We're not going there. You say, well, you know, I just go. The churches that do that, go check the youth groups out. It has consequences. And I'm not going to do that. It's my responsibility to just keep things in line, okay? And I'm not doing it. But I can do it in my own life. You allow that stuff in your own life. See where that's going to lead. Not just music. You can take anything. But the wrong kind of music is not going to lead you the right way. Okay, well, it's love music. It's lust music. It's not love music. He will examine the outcome. If I get involved in this thing, this way, what will it accomplish? The biggest, will it hurt or will it help? Will it make me more spiritual or less spiritual? How will this affect those that I love that are around me? So people don't do that and they impulsively react. Now, a foolish person is not like that according to our verse. It says they deceive themselves. It's they get involved in deceit. They're really just deceiving themselves. Right? They're not willing to take the time, so they're just like, you know, this isn't a bad decision. It should be all right. That's deception. Because you haven't taken the time to really figure out what's going on here. Now, here's a difference between how a fool and a prudent man makes a decision, right? The prudent man is like someone taking a voyage. Like, just think of the old days in a boat. They get in there and they're taking a voyage, you know, it's not modern time. They don't just get in the boat and say, hey, let her ride. Let's just see where we end up. No, they know what they're doing. They're figuring out the water and the jets, all that stuff, and the wind, and where do they got to set their sails. They know where they're going. They're not just getting in the boat and like, hey, you know, wherever it runs, it's going to run ashore. And so they make very, very careful plans where they're going. Well, the foolish man is like the reckless driver. He just gets in the car and he takes off and like, hey, wherever I end up. Let's just go for a ride. What are they, a joyride? Remember one time this guy and I shouldn't say this, but he wouldn't mind. You know, when we were younger, a guy came up and was, hey, man, he had a car. I'd never seen the car in my life. So let's go for a joyride, man. I'm like, I'm good. Pastor Esposito got in. A couple hours later, they got arrested. Car was stolen. It's like, okay. So, hey, that was a good, I didn't think it was stolen. I just didn't want to go, you know, so that was pretty good. But that was 3 weeks ago. But like, people are like, joyride, let's just get in the car. Let's go for, where are you going? You're not going anywhere. Now, I'm not into fairy tales, but like Alice in Wonderland, traveling, and she came to a fork in the road, and she asked one of the animals, I think the cat, hey, which road should I take? The cat said, where are you going? She goes, I don't know. He goes, it doesn't matter. Take either one. And that's how most of us live our lives, right? We don't know where we're going. So you make a decision without like, where am I going? Where do I want to get to? Let's be very, very careful. So I mentioned before, I'm very careful about this, particularly with my Christianity and with our church. As I want to be prudent and understand the way. I want to see the direction. Where is something going? Where would it lead me? What is the outcome? One of the last points we taught in the message, we talked about the dangers of change, right? And I want to be very, very careful. If I want to change, I want to change for the good. I don't want to change for the bad. Amen. I've been a Christian for quite a while, and I've seen a lot of good churches, a lot of them. But you know what's funny? The churches that were really good doing things for God, churches back about the time I took off for Bible college, they're either not in existence today, they're a shell of what they once were, where they're completely different and very small. And all of those that got that is because they changed. You know, and, you know, it's cool. We'll just, you know, we'll have the, you know, we're not, I'm not going to come in here like most, I don't understand my guy, I was almost in my age. Guys my age that want to come in here and preach and like, you know, a hang 10 shirt, flip-flops, a hoodie, you know, the newest cool cat thing. It's like, I'm not a cool cat. Okay, I want to have a little respect for God. Amen. Well, you know, people will like that. Well, then go to the beach. I'm not going to the beach. We went to a church one time. My wife and I were out of town for a few days, and that was a good church. And the guy came in. Hey, we're having a guest speaker. And literally, it looks like he just got back from the beach. Flip-flops, and I'm like, okay, this just took a serious turn. I don't want that. We want to look to the future. We want to reach the next generation. And our society is bought into the nonsense that you have to water down God's message. You have to water down things for the next generation to make it. As a parent, let's take spirituality out of that. As a parent, I would want my kid to have more. So why would I want them to have more Christianity? Why wouldn't I want them to have a better Christianity? That was weird. Where did that come from? It came from heaven?
Yes, sir.
I guess that's God saying, hey, it's 8 o'clock. It's time to shut her down. But look, let me say this and I'll done and we'll finish later. But that's why it bothers me that our new generation has a disdain for older Christianity. We have no heroes. All the old guys were bad, you know. And they didn't know anything that's going on. And that's just not true. Now, some of them, I get it. But it's just, you know why we do that? Because we want something new. Something that's, it's like with David. He came into Saul. He said, Saul's like, you're fighting Goliath? Yeah, well, here, let me give you this stuff. Armor, swords. And David's like, I'm fighting a guy 9 feet tall. I've never used this stuff, okay? That's not the time to try out that karate class stuff. You've taken 3 lessons. He says, I haven't proved them. I want to go with what I know works, a sling and a stone. And Goliath saw that and laughed at him, but guess what? He didn't laugh for long. Yeah. So I don't want to just change just for the sake of changing. We better stop there. And let's all stand together, if we may, before the building falls on us. You don't pay much, you don't get much, I guess. I don't know. Just kidding. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for loving us, and we thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you just help us in our lives to have a little bit of prudence. Every day, all the time, we are faced with little things. We have to make decisions. We have to make determinations. We have to decide how we're going to live our lives. And I pray, Lord, we would do that with prudence, looking to the outcome, looking ahead, trying to figure out what is best. Bless us now. Thank you. Thank you for those that are here. I pray you bless us because we were here. And Lord, we were encouraged in some way. Be with us until we meet again on Sunday. Bless us on Saturday as we go out and serve in our community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.